So Genesis series, we're still on it, even though half of you decided to go quarantine forever. We're still there. We're doing things. And we talked a lot about God. We talked a lot about God in the beginning was known as Elohim. Elohim said, let us make man in our image. And that's the all-powerful God, the God that exists in the dark places, that is the light in the dark. And then we talked a little bit about another name that God uses, which is Yahweh, the Lord. And remember, we talked about that being capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And when you see that, that is the covenant name of God. That is the God that wants a relationship with his creation. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Today is the Genesis story. And as we continue along with this, we consider the character of God. And when we look at God, his character is purely and easily mentioned as love. God is love. And that is why we see God speak love into the Sabbath day. That's why we're here today, is because God loved us. And he did this so that we would never be alone, that we'd never be alone for all eternity. People ask, why was the Sabbath given? And I get this all the time. Why was it given? It was carved because God carved himself into the very fabric of time as a commitment to an everlasting covenant that he established at the beginning of time when he created this world, to never leave us, to never forsake us, to come to his creation as Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh is the personal name of God. It invokes the meaning of God's character. It is a God of relationships. Now, Elohim is translated God. All through the first three chapters of Genesis, we see Elohim used again and again. Anytime you see God, you see that as Elohim. It is the Godhead. And it means the powerful, distant God that created everything. It created everything out of nothing. And God appears in Genesis 2 as the God of relationships. And he sets a time for us to develop and cultivate that relationship. So as we go through this, we begin to understand a few things, but I want to start this off because we have this view of what the Sabbath day is. And we come here because what? We're keeping the fourth commandment, right? But if we follow that, then did the Sabbath exist before God gave the commandments to the Hebrews? Think? Maybe? Chris, sorry, man, got to move the cursor over to the big screen and click it once. Thank you. It's great that you're doing things, but it's not moving. There we go. All right, Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, it says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all the work which God had created and made. Now you notice up there, I have it marked in red, the seventh day. And that's a Hebrew reference number, H7650. If you want to go look it up today, feel free. In fact, I encourage you to go look this up. Because we look at that and we always blame it. We pull it out on the calendar and say, look, God created 6 days and then on the seventh day rested. Therefore, we keep the Sabbath day, right? But what truly is the Sabbath day? Is it just a commandment? The Hebrew says Shabbat. It's a primitive root, properly complete. But it's used only in a denominative, it goes on, in seven oneself. That is to swear by repeating the declaration seven times. We've heard that in the Bible. It is an oath, or with an oath. Now, last time I checked, a covenant is what? It's a contract, right? And when you sign it, you sign that contract. I covenanted with the U.S. Army back in the day. And I raised my right hand and I swore an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States, foreign and domestic. That was that covenant or that oath that I took. This is talking about the same type of oath. I want to put that in your mind as we go through this. Because Ezekiel tells us that, moreover, I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. It is the covenant name of God. It is the relationship name of God that sanctified them. In other words, we are set apart personally for God, by God, for a special purpose. So in the beginning, God made the Sabbath day holy. He hallowed the seventh day. And we follow that by coming here on the seventh day. But we're not here, or we're not holy because we try to be holy. We're not holy because we need to be holy. We are holy because we enter into a rest that is holy, because God is in that rest. And he has been since the creation of this world. So in Genesis chapter 2, God performed four actions. Four actions that are embedded in love and in time. First, God finished all his work before the seventh day. That means you cannot add anything. God created on the first day through the sixth day. He created the light. He created the fish in the water. He created mammals. He created green earth, created herbs of the field, and he created man. And on the seventh day, he did what? He rested. That means you have to surrender to God. You can't add anything to come to God. You have to surrender to the power of God. God made you, God saved you, and he is the one that picked you up in the beginning when you cried out, Lord, save me. And he is going to be the one that is going to plant you in the Garden of Eden at the end of time, because you are his. Number two is God sanctified the seventh day. Now, a lot of people get confused about sanctification, but sanctification simply in the Hebrew is to be set apart for something special. It is to be set apart. So God made the seventh day for a different purpose than the other 6 days were. It was something that was very special at the end of those 6 days. God did set it apart. Number three, God rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done. Now, man and woman were made on what day? The sixth day. And that's why we also see the number of man being six, or the number of the beast, or the man at the head of the beast being 666. It is an incomplete number. It is an incomplete or an unfinished existence, an imperfect living life. It's just shy of the meaning unless there is a seventh day. And let me explain that. What fully defines a man? What makes us different from any other mammal, any other fish, any other plant in this world? What makes us different? We have a relationship with God. We have a relationship with our Creator. And that relationship for Adam and Eve was developed on the seventh day. What makes life complete is the Genesis story. It is the divine human relationship with God confirmed on that seventh day. Number four, God blessed the seventh day. That's another thing that's kind of confusing. We think, oh, it's got to be something more than, no, he made it happy. You should be happy. You're here. You're happy. You should be happy that we're able to come and worship, because I can tell you there's places in this world that you're not allowed to go to worship. And some of them are here in the United States. Doesn't make much sense not to partake of a blessing, does it? So we begin to see creation, and we begin to see God move in creation. Elohim moves in a very dramatic way in creation. And in creation, God does a few things. When God created in the beginning, he spoke seven times. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, I want to read this to you. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day and the darkness night. So the evenings and the mornings were what? The first day. God defined it. You can take evolution and throw it out the window. There wasn't a million years here. God defined exactly what a day is. But that's how he began. And he began and continued on. He said, let there be light. And there was light in the sky. Let there be a sky. Let there be dry land. Let there be sea. Let there be plants. Let there be lights in the sky. God moves every day during creation until he finally comes to the seventh day. And the speech of the seventh day is heard when God had finished all the work which he had done. In other words, that speech is completely different than the other 6 days. He wasn't doing anything. He had finished all the work which he had done. Now, you've heard me as I go through the Genesis story, and if those that have missed it, I apologize, but you know what? I can take almost everything back to the sanctuary. And this goes right back to the sanctuary in a very dramatic way. And there's a reason why the sanctuary is so important. God created in the beginning and he spoke 7 times. In the sanctuary, God tells Moses, let them make me a sanctuary that I may what? You mean the Lord Yahweh wants to dwell with his created beings? Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And now when you read the section of Exodus where it describes the building of the sanctuary, it starts in Exodus 25. It goes all the way to Exodus 31. Go read it this afternoon. It's beautiful. You need to understand it. But I can tell you that it begins in Exodus 25. And what is important is that God gave Moses instructions on how to build the sanctuary. And in the instructions, 7 times, we begin to see him do exactly what he did in creation. And the Lord said, what's unique about this? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Where is the all-powerful God of the universe in that? Personal relationship. It is the relationship side of God's character that he's looking to establish here. Exactly what we just read. And the Lord said, that's the first time in Exodus 30, 11. And the Lord said, the third time says in Exodus 30, 17. And the Lord said, the fourth time. And the Lord said, the fifth time, 30, 34. And the Lord said, the sixth time is the Lord said in verse 31, 1. And the seventh time that the Lord said to Moses is in Exodus 31, 12. You see, the sanctuary is pictured as a model of the universe. No different it was when I started talking about the Genesis story in the beginning, when we started the Genesis movement at the very beginning. It was the creation, Bet, home. And then he created the universe out of nothing, and the earth was water, and he separated the water from the water because it was void and without form, and he created land. He begins that process. So God is ending the sanctuary construction in the same way he did creation. God ends it, though, with an everlasting covenant. He didn't wait till the Hebrews on their Exodus. He ends creation itself with the everlasting covenant. And the Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbath, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, I, Yahweh, sanctify you. I, Yahweh, set you apart. You know, life has no meaning unless God's in it, does it? And it takes a blessed holy day to build an everlasting relationship that is love, and you build that with God on the seventh day. God that made us to spend time with him every 7 days waits to hear from us to build that relationship. Of course, somebody's going to ask me, how do you know? It's pretty simple. Scripture. I can quickly show you about 103 verses all about the Sabbath day. The other way is I've traveled the world a lot, and I like studying history a lot. And the more I study history, the more I realize that every continent, every tribe, every people on this earth has a seven-day calendar. And over 150 of those languages, the Sabbath is the seventh day. So I'm pretty confident in what I'm telling you. God continues on, he says in Exodus 31:16, therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It becomes the everlasting covenant. And before you begin to just apply this to the people of Israel, I want you to remember a few things. In Mark 2:27, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It is our call to God. It is our call to that covenant. Maybe better said, mankind, right? Paul straightens this out a little bit for us in Galatians 3:16. Paul says, now the promises were made to Abraham and to his seed. It does not say into the seeds, referring to the many, but referring to the one, and to your seed, who is Christ. So Paul makes it pretty clear. And then Jesus tells us in Mark, oops, I missed it. Then Jesus tells us in Mark 2:28 that the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Paul continues on with his thought in Galatians 3:29, and he says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. So we get grafted in. You think, well, maybe you're stretching Paul a little bit. No, I don't think so. In other words, all the promises that were made through Jesus Christ. Popular teaching is that there's one set of rules that applies to the Jews and another set of rules that apply to everybody else. And I really don't think God judges differently. I don't think God sees us differently at this point in time. In Galatians 3:26, it says, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Scripture makes it clear that we are all heirs according to the promise that was given to Abraham, if we are Christ. So you have to cling to the one that the promises were made, and that is Jesus Christ. Paul says something else in Romans. In Romans 9:6-7, it says, but it is not as though the word of God has failed. For not all, how many? All, not all. Not all who are descendants from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring. But through Isaac, your offspring shall be named. God doesn't see us differently after the cross. This means that you are not the children of the flesh that is reckoned unto God, but the children of the promise that is reckoned unto God. And this is where amazing grace really comes into direct effect in your life. It is through Jesus Christ that we recognize and reconciled back to God. So when God commanded that the Sabbath be kept by Israel throughout all the generations, he's talking about you. We see it picked up in Isaiah as well. There we go. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness. For soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who holds fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. And he continues on, let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, by the way, the Lord will surely separate me from his people, and let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree, for thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose the things that please me and hold fast what? My covenant. So it still comes back to that covenant language. I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. God is promising us an eternity within that relationship. So very clearly, the Sabbath was not just for the Jews. It is for anyone who loves the Lord. And when we look at that, the Sabbath and the covenant, they almost become the same thing. They are interactive. You can't have one without the other. So according to Isaiah, the Sabbath is this covenant, and it's for everybody. You live forever in God's house if you have the covenant. You have a covenant with God, and that language is simply and truly the Sabbath. Isaiah continues on and says, "These I will bring to my holy mountain, and I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for how many? All people." It doesn't say just for the Jews. It says for all people. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, "I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered." It is him that God trusts. It is him that God the Father has given them to. And most Bible margins recognize him as Christ. But Christ clears it all up in John 10:16. "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd." We don't have factions in heaven. We don't have this group and that group. We have those that belong to Jesus Christ. So it is clear Christ is the him in Isaiah 56:8. And we come back to Exodus 31. Exodus 31:16. "Therefore the people of Israel," the church, "shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever," or what? The eternal covenant, the everlasting covenant. Christ came from forever, and that is the covenant that he has established with us. The Sabbath is called the everlasting covenant. So according to Isaiah 24:5, at the end of time, we begin to see things arise. "The earth lies defiled under its inhabitants, for they have transgressed the laws, violated statutes, broken what? The everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse devours the earth, and its inhabitants suffer for the guilt. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are scorched, and few men are left." So according to Exodus 31:16, the Sabbath is the everlasting covenant. Moses even calls it the everlasting covenant. Seven is always a sign of completion, is it not? It's a holy number. But it's also mostly an oath. Abraham uses seven oxen and seven sheep to confirm a covenant. And I want to go through this with you. Most of us remember the story, vaguely probably. So Abraham took the sheep and the oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a covenant. In other words, they made a contract. Abraham set the seven ewe lambs of the flock apart. Notice they are set apart. They're sanctified. They're there for a purpose. And Abimelech said to Abraham, "What is the meaning of these seven ewe lambs that you have set apart?" And he said, "These seven ewe lambs which you have, that you will take from my hand, that this it may be a witness for me that I dug this well." Therefore, that place is called Beersheba. If you want to pronounce it correctly, I do believe it's Beersheba. And if you remember, we started the Genesis series with Bet, home. And we looked at words that had bed in it. Bethlehem, home of the bread. Here we have Beersheba, has a meaning to it. And we need to look at that meaning. We need to understand that meaning. As he continues on, Therefore, oop, that didn't hit. So they swore an oath at Beersheba. They made a covenant. Do you realize Beersheba actually has two meanings, though? Beersheba, or Beersheba, means well of the seven. It is the well of the oath. Ber, meaning well. Sheba, meaning seven, or oath. Do you realize where we're at on that? It's the day of the oath. It's not a day we keep because we have a fourth commandment that says we have to go do that. It's a day of an oath. It's a day of an oath that God gave us a covenant at the very beginning of creation. And it becomes part of the Genesis story, and it becomes part of our story even at the end of time. The seventh day is the day of the oath. It is the oath day. The seventh day Sabbath is a covenant day. It is the day that God had completed us with the divine relationship that nothing else on this planet had. God the Creator, Elohim, made us in His image and then desired to have a relationship with us, even in our broken state. It is the day that is set apart for God Himself to spend with us, to build an everlasting relationship with us. And that's why Moses sees this. Moses speaks of this. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is eternal. It is the everlasting covenant. And God created this at the beginning. He did all that work on the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. And then on the seventh day, He made a covenant with mankind. He brought Adam and Eve in and said, let us build a relationship that is going to last an eternity. And at some time in your life, you were invited in to that relationship. You were invited to take part of that covenant. And I pray that's why you're sitting here this morning. But it also gives you some ideas. Other things in the Bible. In John 3:16 that we all know well. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, you cling to the one the promises were made to. Are made through. You cling to that covenant through Him. God says, remember the Sabbath day. Remember the oath that was given. Remember the covenant that was made. And God says, remember, I am coming again. You know, if you haven't been paying attention to everything going on, you probably should watch the news, because it's going to say one morning, here comes Jesus, we see Him. You're going to look out your window and realize that God's here. It's coming quick. Question is, why are you here today? Why are you a Christian today? Are you truly building a relationship with God, or are you just here filling a seat? And that goes back, and that is the question that has to go back to every human being since the creation of this world. Do you have a relationship with the Lord, your God, Yahweh Elohim? He's desired that relationship since the very beginning. We read that in the scriptures. He invites you and talks to you this day, if you'll just listen to the heart. Please stand with me today. We close today. Our closing song is hymn number 99. God will take care of you. Hymn number 99.